That's it, Marusha. Twirl the birch bark into a little tube. Oh, good girl.
Then tie it to the top of the net, yes?
That's it. It'll stay afloat and keep the net up. What do you say, Vanya? We'll make a fisherman of your sister yet.
I wish we were out fishing, Grandpa Peter. Not sitting here mending nets.
Ah, little bear cub, too much haste sets your shoes on fire. Nets made ready now will give us good fishing in the spring.
But I want it now.
Now. Put that once in a box and bury it. It'll do you no good.
Sorry, Grandpa.
I'll tell you what. Let's have a story while we work. You're the fisherman, Vanya, so answer this. Which is the snappiest fish of all?
That's easy. A pike. I'd love to catch a pike.
So you shall when the ice melts. But I doubt we'll find one as big as the Tsar of pikes, who used to live in these parts. I will keep twisting the birch bark and keep tying, and I'll begin. There was once a baby pikefish born in our great river. At his birth, the waters foamed and raged. Riverboats were swamped, and children playing on the banks screamed and ran for safety. He had teeth like knives, jaws like a trap, and eyes that raged. He ate so fast that in 2 months he was 12 feet long, roaring up and down the river, his great white mouth snapping at everything. Small fish were torn to pieces and swallowed as you might swallow a sunflower seed.
Gulp?
Gulp indeed! It was so frightening that the bream and the perch called a meeting of all the smaller fish in a quiet pool. Everyone came. The roach, the dace, the gudgeon, even the little ersh.
What's an ersh, Grandpa? He's like a little spiny fish. Sort of a perch, but much smaller and even more spiky.
That's the fellow, yes. Well, the silly roach was the first to speak.
The answer's simple. We kill the pike.
The gudgeon looked at him with his great googly eyes.
With those great ferocious teeth of yours.
I don't have any teeth.
Well, then obviously you'll have to swallow him whole.
The fish meeting thought this was very funny, but the roach had only a tiny mouth. The roach's fins blush scarlet, which is why they are red to this day.
They are, Marusha. I've seen them.
The perch, who is only a fin's breadth more sensible than the roach, swore he would stop the pike by setting on edge the spines on his back.
My hero, the perch, proposes to give up his life for us.
Give up my life? No, that's not what I meant.
Really well, chap. Let yourself be eaten. Gum up his jaws with your spike.
No!
No, indeed. He'd probably just cough you out like some fishbowl.
Well, if you're so clever, what do you suggest?
Me? No idea. We're all doomed, I think. Oh, well. A sad life, but at least it's a short one.
Excuse me?
Look out, the pipsqueak wants to speak. Something from the scriptures, no doubt, or Pushkin.
The little ersh took no notice. She was used to being ignored. But there is a reason God has given her a small body and a big head. She is the cleverest of fish.
Sometimes retreat is the best form of attack.
Not theology, not poetry. Philosophy, oh
no. Be quiet, Gudgeon. Let her speak.
The pike is huge. It would be better for everybody if he could be killed. But none of us are strong enough for that. So we must starve him. Let us clear out of this great river. Head up into the smaller streams where the pike can't swim. No one will touch us there, and we can bring up our children in peace.
But it's our great river.
Not if we can't swim safely in it.
So the fish took the little ersh's advice. They swam to the shallower streams where the pike could not reach them. The huge pike grew hungrier and hungrier. With no fish in the great river, he was driven to eating worms. And before long, he ate a worm which was attached to a hook, which was attached to a line, which was attached to a fisherman who'd been waiting for a long time to catch the pike. Well, he battled and battled, and in the end, he landed the huge fish.
Grandpa Peter, how do you know all this?
I'll tell you. That fisherman took the huge pike home and made the best fish soup Russia has ever known. Makes my mouth water to remember it.
You remember it?
Oh, who wouldn't remember a flavour like that? I was about your age, Vanya. The fisherman was a friend of my family. I took my wooden spoon to his pot and tasted Tsar of Pike soup.
Did the other fish run back to the great river when the pike had gone?
Oh, yes and no. You do see them there. But they rather like their life in the smaller waters, and that's where you'll find a lot of them, even to this day. Except, of course, for the famous golden fish. He's small, but he prefers the sea.
What's the famous golden fish?
Oh, you know, the one caught by the old man whose wife let good luck go to her head.
What old man?
How are those floats coming along?
Fine, Grandpa, look.
Neat work.
Just one more story's worth of work to do.
Very well. There was once an old fisherman who lived with his wife near the blue, blue sea in a tumble-down hut of earth and logs. In summer they lived poorly, in winter worse still. When the old man wasn't fishing, he was mending his nets, which had holes so big a hare could jump through with its ears standing.
That's big.
One day the old man went to the shore and threw out his net. When he began to pull it in, he felt a great weight.
Oh, oh, there must be 100 fish at least.
But as the net neared the shore, it looked empty. Then, with his very last pull, the old man saw something glittering. A single golden fish. He bent down to pick it up.
Oh, wait! I beg you, don't kill me. Oh, throw me back into the blue, blue sea. One day, I may be of use to you.
By St. Peter and all the saints, a talking fish. Hungry I may be, but I shan't harm you.
Gently he put the golden fish back into the blue, blue sea.
Thank you.
The old man looked out, and there was the golden fish, swishing his tail and standing upright in the water.
For giving me life, anything you ask for, you shall have.
That's kind of you, fish. But I think I have everything I need.
At that, the fish disappeared beneath the waves. The old man went home. When he told his wife, she was furious.
And us with nothing to eat. Go back and ask for some bread.
So he went back to the blue, blue sea and, looking out over the water, called,
Head in the air, tail in the sea, fish, fish, listen to me.
Politely, he asked the fish for some bread.
It shall be done. Go home.
Sure enough, he arrived home to find his wife cutting a huge loaf, white bread, mind, not black, as big as Marusha and as pretty.
I've never seen a pretty loaf.
Well, if you're hungry, there's nothing as pretty as a loaf. Anyway, the old man and the old woman went to bed happy. But in the night, she elbowed him in the ribs.
That loaf will go stale. What we need is a crock to put it in and keep it fresh.
So next morning, the old man went back to the water.
Head in the air, tail in the sea, fish, fish, listen to me.
And he asked for and received a fine bread crock. By now, his wife was beginning to get the idea.
Husband, that crock looks out of place in a tumble-down old hut like this. Go back and ask for a new one.
And what he asked for, he received. Not just a new hut, but furnishings. Even a fine new samovar of shining brass. Well, you would have thought that the old woman would have been satisfied with that. Not a bit of it.
You've been a peasant so long you don't know how to lift your eyes from the ground. I'm tired of being a moujik's wife. I'm made for something better. Off you go and tell the fish I want to be a fine lady, with people to do the work for me.
The old man was uneasy about this, but he was afraid of his wife, so off he went.
Head in the air, tail in the sea, fish, fish, listen to me.
Sure enough, when he got home, the hut had been replaced by a fine brick house with servants, and there sat the old woman in a dress of rich brocade, giving orders.
Good health to your wife.
How dare you call me your wife? Can't you see I'm a fine lady? Steward, take this old fool to the stables and put him to work.
From then on, he was fed scraps and made to sweep the courtyard, and if a speck of dirt was found, he paid for it under the whips of the grooms. Then one day he was summoned. He combed his hair and cleaned his boots and stood before her.
Anyone can be a lady. I should be a Tsaritsa. Go back to your fish and tell him that.
He did. And she was. in a palace with a golden roof, soldiers and gardens full of flowers. No fruit or vegetables, just flowers.
Strange sort of garden.
A palace garden. And there the Tsaritsa would walk in her finery. But once again she became bored and had the poor old man brought before her.
There've been other Tsaritsas. I want more. Come here. I want to be...
In his ear she whispered a demand, her eyes flashing. Unwillingly the old man hobbled off.
Head in the air, tail in the sea. Fish, fish, listen to me.
A great wind whipped the waves into white crests, and up through all this stood the golden fish.
What is it this time, old man?
My wife has another request, old fish.
Has she indeed?
Yes. She wants to be ruler of the seas, so that all the waters shall obey her,
And
that the fish shall be her servants.
The golden fish turned tail and went down into the deep sea. Suddenly there was a great noise. The sky turned black and the sun was dimmed, and the wind was so strong the old man could hardly stand. When he managed to struggle home, he had his greatest shock yet.
Greater than seeing a palace with a golden roof?
Greater! For when he arrived home, what he found was the same old tumble-down hut he'd had at the start of the story. Inside he found his old wife, cleaning out a saucepan and singing in a croaky voice.
The girls of the city, their eyes may gleam, but there's none so pretty as my little stream. Oh, husband, come in, come in. There's tea, there's no sugar, but tea.
And they lived once again as they had before, and grew happier every day. The old man fished, and many were the fish he caught, and of many kinds, but he never again caught a golden fish. Which, all in all, is a good thing.
Why, Grandpa?
Well, supposing we could have everything we wanted. I wonder how that would be. Perhaps God knew what he was doing when he made those golden fishes quite so rare. What are you smiling at, Vanya?
I'm wishing I could take our nets and catch a golden fish.
You be careful what you wish for.
Just so I could hear a fish speak. I'd like that.
Oh, little bear cub, and so you may, for the world is full of wonders, as Marusha has just shown us.
Me, Grandpa?
Yes, you, little pigeon. Look at your net. Beautifully done. A wonderful job. Now then, soup.